I'm Sean O'Sullivan. I'm a street preacher. I was a heroin addict before Jesus Christ. He transformed my life. That's why I'm motivated to do today what I do.
Okay, so where do you do your preaching?
I travel all around the UK, but mainly in Bristol.
And how do you finance this?
I have supporters and I do part-time work.
Tell us about your heroin addiction.
I come from a dysfunctional family. My parents didn't have a very good upbringing, and I was kicked out on the streets.
Where?
Swindon. And I was introduced to guys older than myself, 40, and they said, we'll be your family. So within a few months, I was out shoplifting, and I was being entrapped. I didn't realise I was being entrapped. The drugs they were giving me, I then had a big debt on my head, so I had to do serious crimes to...
Well, they weren't giving you drugs if you had a debt, so they were selling you drugs on tick, were they?
Yeah, it was trickery. It was... to make me think that, they were my friends. But
and what sort of drugs are we talking about?
Crack and heroin.
Okay. Can you just tell us a bit about those drugs for people who've never experienced them?
Well, it's very, very addictive. It takes pretty much your soul. I would do things that I'd never thought that I would ever do. It's highly addictive. It was very hard to get off until I become born again. It was very easy.
Why were you so addicted to these drugs? I mean, how did they affect you to make you say, well, I've got to have some more of this?
I become hooked. I become powerless over myself. I couldn't think straight. I couldn't think the whole day without having heroin. Even when I was doing the heroin, I was thinking of the next batch of heroin.
And what was it? Smoking, injecting? What?
Injecting.
What about the crack?
Injecting.
Okay, so, and this is all coming from the same people, was it?
Yes.
Can you tell us anything about those people? I mean, not necessarily naming names or whatever, but, where, if you were in Swindon, where would those sort of people be hanging out?
In the red light district, in the areas. But these guys were mainly from London, and then they find a vulnerable person, and then they get you on the drugs, and then within a few weeks you're selling it for them.
So surely the police would be straight on to people like this?
The police were very aware of it, but not a lot they could do. They were very aware that there was a young man at the age of 15 injecting in a car park.
But when you say there's nothing they can do, I mean, surely they can arrest these people who are dealing these drugs. Why don't they do that?
I'm not too sure why they don't do that. One of the police officers, when I was arrested once in the past, he said, we knew that you were selling drugs 2 years ago. So it was very strange for me why I wasn't arrested.
What about your confrontations with street preachers or a street preacher in Swindon itself? This is, we're talking here about roughly 2013.
Yes, there was a man called John Dunn. He was what I call like a John the Baptist type preacher. He was very challenging, and I knew that guy for 6 years. I used to persecute him, laugh him, mock him, embarrass him. There was another guy in Oxford that I actually used physical violence on. It was a real...
Well, what happened with the physical violence? Were you arrested for that?
I was arrested, but I was later released because the guy that I assaulted didn't press charges.
Wow, okay. So why were you like this with these street preachers? I mean, surely most people, if they don't agree with what someone says like that, they just walk on by and carry on with their day.
I was just very, very aggressive, hurt, wounded young man who used violence to use power. And it was exposing stuff in my life that I didn't want to deal with. But that guy, John Dunn, is actually my best friend now. It's a really amazing story when you think about it. That man was out there when I got arrested, preaching the gospel, and he was stood beside me. And I just think that's truly amazing.
Okay, so do you think most towns have got people who live near them, street preachers? This is an interesting world. It's almost like something that we think of from hundreds of years ago.
No, it's the church have gone away from their roots of like John Wesley and George Whitfield of street preaching. But it was something that the early church did. It was something that I think God's going to bring back on the streets. It's very good to everyone that has a view. I think that the Muslims should be able to speak. I think the Christians should be able to speak. I think we should all have a freedom of speech.
So what turned things around? What got you off the drugs and, turned your life around? Because that was obviously quite an important thing. You can spiral down, almost a spiral dive to death in that situation.
Yes, as I have lost 75 friends which my wife could testify to. It's pretty sad. I'm the only guy left. There's a photo of me with, I think it's 36 people in Swindon, and I'm the only guy left. And it's truly heartbreaking.
So these are people who have died, are they, from drug addiction?
Yeah, just this year there's been over 10 people that I know personally died in drugs, alcohol or poor lifestyles.
So why not you? Why? How come you're not on that list in a cemetery somewhere?
Well, it's truly amazing because it should have been me. But I do believe that God gives us all a chance. And I believe I should have been dead. But something inside of me I did want to change. I just didn't know how to.
So as somebody who is particularly against these street preachers, was God figuring in your mind? And how did things change around?
It opened up a spiritual path for me. It opened up a doorway of... one day I was listening to what he said and I was so mad, and I went in the field and I just looked up and I thought, there's got to be, you know, everything around me is created by something. How can I look up and not see God?
And so what happened then? What? Inside?
Inside my life started to change. I started losing desires to do certain things I used to do. The first one that went for me was alcohol addiction. I had cirrhosis of the liver. I used to have alcoholic seizures when I was 23 years old. And that was the first one to go. And then it was over time, I got baptized, and that's when I really started seeing a change. I nearly had a wobble in my faith 2 years ago when my son passed away. And I just kept persevering, and God transformed my life.
Okay, so you made a decision within your own heart, but then also you linked up with church. Was that in Swindon too?
I linked up with many churches, but... because of the beliefs that they had wasn't in the Bible. I've now gone back to the what they call in the Bible the house church movement, where we meet in a house. And the guy that I was persecuting on the streets is actually the guy that I travel down every week to Swindon to see.
But what about getting off these drugs? That's not going to be that easy. You said alcohol was the first. What about crack and heroin?
That was really hard, but I had to let it go. And it took me a long time, and it wasn't till I was baptized that desire went. I truly wanted to turn my life away from that, and I wanted to help people.
And what did you go through the withdrawal? What was that like?
It was quite intense. It was a hallucination, sick. I thought I was seeing people walking in the room, despair, agony. I can't describe it to anything. It was complete torment.
And how long was that for?
And that lasted for over a month.
Were you ever tempted during that time?
Every day.
How did you resist that?
Meditating on the scriptures.
So, the change came around. What about your new life? Because maybe you would have to find new friends, drop old friends.
Yeah, I had to turn away from everything, to be honest. I had to delete my Facebook. I had to turn away from my old friends. I was a very violent man. But something inside changed. I didn't want to hate people anymore. I didn't want to use violence. I was completely changed from the inside out. And instead of before, when I just tried to do religious duties, I couldn't. It never lasted. But when I was born again, my life completely changed from inward.
When you say born again, what do you mean?
Well, I mean that turning away from my old life. Believing in Jesus, having faith in Jesus, and then I was baptized. I believe that Jesus was who he said he was, and it talks about that in John chapter 3. It says we need to be born again. You know, we've been separated from God. We've sinned against the Holy God, and we cannot enter the kingdom of God until he makes us a new creature.
So where and how did you get baptized? Because certainly most Church of England churches don't have a sort of pool that you can get baptized in.
Well, just like the Bible, it wasn't in a church. I got baptized in a river. I got baptized in a river outside in Swindon by the man that I used to persecute on the streets and mock.
So what about now? How does your week go? And do you get a break, or are you on the streets every day? What's the weeks like now?
Oh, my week is pretty intense. I'm up at like 4 in the morning. I spend about 3 hours in the woods with Jesus, reading scriptures. Seeking him. I'm either out preaching or in a coffee shop with someone teaching. Might be taking a guy to rehab next week. My day to day is so different, and I do some odd jobs here and there and night shifts. I've cut down my costs so I can be out on the streets more.
And what about those churches? You were going from church to church, looking around, and deciding that really many of them were not for you. What was that like, that journey through the churches, trying to find somewhere you felt at home?
Yeah, that was really difficult because a lot of the stuff that I was hearing in the Bible wasn't being preached in the church. And Jesus says in the last days they will not endure sound doctrine. So it's a real struggle for me trying to find a lot of practices that I was seeing wasn't what Jesus wanted or did.
Okay, is there anything specific that's coming up in the church that you were thinking, well, hang on, that doesn't sound right to me?
New Age, the New Age movement, the Bethel movement.
So what are these things specifically?
Well, so I went to Bible College in Bethel. It was in Bristol, and they were doing tarot cards. They were laying on graves. It was just some crazy teachings, and it was taking other teachings and saying it's Jesus Christ. So they were saying it doesn't really matter, and they were just saying things that were not in the scriptures.
So that sounds to me like apostasy. I mean, this is talked about in the Bible, isn't it? Where the church as an institution moves away from actually what the Bible says. And that, of course, is set in stone. I mean, we've got Moses and the tablets are in stone. The Bible cannot actually be altered. And yet what you're saying is that some of the churches in the city, and even what you're saying there, a Bible college is teaching something completely different.
Yeah, and that's actually very close to this building. And that's in Stokescroft, and they're training people up, and it's not what the scriptures see. You see, the Gnosticism is they got secret knowledge, and that Jesus hasn't given us any secret knowledge. He's given us his written word, and people have gone astray, and they've tried to use things from the world to try and entice people in, but Jesus calls us as his disciples to be holy and separate.
Sounds like quite a challenging time for the faith, actually, doesn't it, now?
This is... what I see going on, the church have become so silent that they no longer become a voice, and their voice is drowned out as many other voices in the world. And what's going on is the church is not taking a stand when they should be standing. And I'm not saying that every church, I'm talking about the whole structure of the church, because there is great people in pretty much most churches. There's always a faithful few people. But yeah, this is the hardest time for the church, and this is the time where the church should be the light to the world.
What about your upcoming trial? Because you apparently were offending somebody with racial comments about Muhammad.
Yeah, so I was out preaching the gospel. I said, Jesus Christ is the way.
This is in Swindon?
This is in Swindon. My family come with me. My wife went out and handed out some tracts on the other side. So I was talking about Jesus. People don't want to just set things, they want to know why. So this woman said, Muhammad is the truth. So I gave her a story, like Jesus talked in stories. So I just used the life of Christ and what Christ went around doing. And I shared what Muhammad did. And I said, today, would you find him not guilty or not guilty? And she wouldn't answer the question. But the police turned up and they arrested me without warning. They didn't tell me to stop. The crowd wasn't even arguing. Actually, when I got arrested, the crowd was saying, this guy's done nothing wrong. Why are you arresting him? And it was really, the officer looked very shocked. When I got to the police station, they read out my charges. He didn't look very happy, but obviously he's not going to shame his colleague. But pray for me, because my trial's coming up on the 18th, 9:30, Swindon Magistrates Court. And we're looking for anyone that wants to come there who believes in freedom of speech to come out and be a voice and be heard.
When you were brought in to be charged, you were then released. You were kept in for 12 hours and then released in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I was in there for 12 hours, and my son was very young then. He was a premature baby. He died on arrival. He was resuscitated. And my wife was on life support machine, and my son was on life support machine. So my son needed special formula milk. He was only supposed to be gone for 3 hours. And I did tell the police this many times, that I need to get to my family. But they said, okay. It was very, very heartbreaking for me. I had to walk 10 miles in the rain, and I felt such a failure to my family. And I was really ashamed of the police force for doing that.
But I mean, surely it's bound to be offensive to a Muslim to say to their face, Muhammad is a false prophet.
Yeah, of course it is.
I mean, it's like someone saying to you, Jesus is a false prophet.
Yeah, and people say that every single day. But, you know, we do have a freedom of speech in this country. And but this person was mocking Jesus Christ as well. They were saying really rude things. They asked me the question. I gave them the question. I don't go out there and shout, Muhammad is a false prophet. If they ask me a question, I will read, I will tell them things that's in the Quran and in the Bible.
Well, hang on a minute, because there's nothing about Muhammad in the Bible. I mean, that's hundreds of years after the Bible.
Yeah, he's in the Quran. So I read out the Quran and I shared some things. I always do many times because people want to know, you know, they say that Muhammad was more peaceful and loving than Jesus.
So can you just sum up, what are you being actually charged with?
Racism and offending someone.
So how can we find out what happens with that?
It's going to be on most media channels. I think it's going to be on a few platforms. I think Rebel Media, I think it's going to be on, I think Sky News are coming, Christian Concern.
I mean, are the churches helping you at all with this in Swindon?
Yeah, John Dunn is, and Rebecca and Rachel Dunn and Miriam O'Sullivan, people like that. And I've got some praying people. But unfortunately, the church have gone, yeah, they're not supporting. Unfortunately, they don't think a Christian should be arrested.
So, okay, just to sum up, how do people follow some of the work that you're doing, apart from maybe coming to see... Hang on, let's just wait. So how do people follow your work?
I'm on Facebook, Sean Miriam O'Sullivan, and I got a page called Awaken the Streets, or the guy I work with called Brother Sim or John Dunn, and that's how you can get us on them platforms.
Okay, and how often are you in the city centre?
Sometimes it could be 7 days a week. Sometimes it could be 3 times a week. It just goes week to week. I don't know where I'm going to be. I know that I might be in Pakistan soon, which is a very scary thing for me. But, you know, I have to do what I have to do. I've got a message to share, and God, Jesus gave us a mission.
So one of the things I will say about your stuff is, you know, quite often you see people, the Jehovah's Witnesses, for example, in the city centre here in Bristol, just kind of standing there handing out leaflets. Other times you see people preaching with a few people around them, but you actually do manage to gather a crowd. How come? I mean, we're talking about, you know, maybe sometimes 30, 40 people.
Yeah, I've had a few hundred at times before, and people have been saved. Because I don't try and cover up things. I'm unashamed of the gospel, and I will share things that's in the Bible, and I want people to know. I understand what it's like to be in the crowd and be offended by a street preacher, but I want people to have a chance. That's why we share the gospel, but we also give people an opportunity to ask questions why they don't want to follow Jesus. And a lot of the time it's because they don't want God telling them what to do.
Do you want to just finally share with us some of your thoughts about what's going on in the present time with the pandemic and the refusal of the church to preach much of what you're talking about, which is there in the Bible?
Yeah, I think personally, I stand as a member of the church. First of all, I need to repent and do what God's called me to do. And I think the church need to repent and wake up and realize that this is the time to stand up and let the light shine. This is not a time to just do whatever we've been told. I'm worried about the way the world's going. You know, people panic too much. They're very fearful. The government don't know what they seem to be doing at the moment. It just seems like we got to wear a mask now when the pandemic's supposed to be not so bad. But when it was really bad, we didn't have to wear one. I just don't understand their logic behind things. I think this is a very dangerous time, and I think it's a time for people to start searching the scriptures and realize that these things were prophesied a long time ago, that we are heading towards a very dangerous time. And anyone on here, I would challenge to, you probably won't want to listen to what I might say, but go and read the book of Revelation and ask God to open up your eyes to see. Ask him to give you eyes to see, and he will.
Sean Miriam O'Sullivan, thanks very much for joining us.
God bless you all.